we're starting up. It's been set up now, our own ministry, Steve Smith Ministries International, and so pretty soon, the next few weeks, it'll be tax deductible, so I'll be able to get some envelopes done up, and so those of you who give, you can get tax back. That's pretty cool on that, and one of the things you do here in America, quite interesting. But if that's the way you go, that's great. And then we're also going to set it up where you can use credit cards and things like that, because we live in a day and age where people, you know, a lot of people don't have cash on them. They're just living by cards the whole time. And not that we want you to get into debt to support our ministry, but if you happen, that's how you pay your bills and that's how you do well, we want to make all those things available to you. And a lot of my CDs, they're still on sale, but they're getting an upgrade. That's why we haven't been promoting in the last 5 or 6 weeks. Bob's working on that and doing a great job. So I would say in the next couple of weeks they're going to be out with a new look. They'll be the same CDs, but a new look and better, far better quality, far better. And that'll be good. So bless you. Turn to the person next to you and say, oh, that's better than nothing. All right, Mark 10. I'm just going to give a quick word here. So you should be out by 1 this morning, so don't worry. Nah, I'm not a long-winded preacher. I never have been. And if you can't strike all in 20 minutes, stop boring. That's what I think. And I don't even know if I'll get through this message. But we'll give it a go. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the power of God that was coming in here in waves for a while there. And we just thank you, Lord, that let us not become familiar with the move of God. Let us keep hungering and thirsting for it, God. So easy for me at 28 years of being in this just to think, oh, well, here we go again, another meeting. But no, Lord, as far as I'm concerned, this is the first time I preach tonight, and I'm going to minister to the people with the joy of the Lord in my heart, because when I just see what you've been doing in Jamaica, Lord Jesus Christ, and as they're moving in revival power, pastors saying the joy of the Lord's just falling. That's all the result, Lord Jesus Christ, and those people being in these revival meetings, Lord, because many of them didn't have that 6 months ago. So I just thank you, Lord, that this revival is definitely changing lives, and it's going to happen in church plants, it's going to happen in missions, work, whatever we do. We want to go in that revival spirit, so we're going to keep on keeping on, Lord. And everybody said, all right, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I want to inspire your faith for believing God for miracles. It says in verse, did I say 46? Yes, it is 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus' disciples with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And I want you to get this picture, because we're just going to look at a few points here. I want to look at five ingredients to receiving your miracle, five keys, five truths to receiving your miracles. And I preach this sort of stuff, and I have done all around the world, and I've seen the most amazing miracles, because the Word of God says in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you can either sit there with a closed mind tonight, or you can sit there saying, well, I wonder if all this God stuff is real, and it wouldn't hurt me just to open up my spirit for faith to be deposited into my heart, to actually believe that God could do something for me. He could actually heal my body. He could actually heal my mind, my emotions. He could actually show me that he's got a great plan for me to fulfill on earth, that I'm not just here in boring old planet earth, just filling around with some boring job, waiting for my life to be over, you know, 80, 90 years of age. No, we can live a great fulfilled life now. You can either try and get into the world with jobs, and there's nothing wrong with good jobs. There's nothing wrong with seeking that, but it ain't going to fulfill you. There's only one thing that's going to fulfill you and I, and that is our spiritual capacity to love God and to go and do what he wants us to do. You know, and the world is changing. There's a lot of trouble in the world. And they say your country's in recession. What a joke, you know. This is recession. You want to go to Africa or somewhere like that. That's recession. And, you know, it doesn't matter if this country goes into a total depression. That won't affect the church. That won't affect the finances in the church, because our kingdom's not of this world. We don't live by the economy of this world. We live by faith in Jesus Christ. And we don't kiss our brains goodbye either, of course. But anyhow, we see in this story that Jesus Christ, with a large crowd, is leaving the city, and this blind man called Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, that wasn't uncommon for their day. In their particular day, it was quite common that on a thoroughfare where people were riding their camels, their donkeys, and or just walking, they would sit by the roadside, usually at the same place every day, and they would have a tin or they'd have something where people would just throw their money off, their currency, whatever they had in their day, and that person would be able to provide for himself, and if he had a family, a wife and kids, for that day. Pretty horrible way to live, but anyway, that's what he was doing. He was a beggar, begging by the roadside. Except on this particular day, in verse 47, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth was passing him by. Now, he was on the roadside of life, and he couldn't see, of course. He was blind, but blind people have very acute hearing, and all their other four senses are very heightened. So he would have been able to know when somebody important and famous, whatever, was passing by, judging by the comments of the people. Hey, there's Jesus over there. He didn't have some spiritual word of knowledge that Jesus was in town and Jesus was walking down the road. He would have heard the comments of the people. He would have heard the large crowd talking about Jesus. And it says that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, how did he hear about Jesus of Nazareth? Well, I just told you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. People would have been walking. He would have been sitting there on that roadside begging, and there would have been hundreds of people throughout the day just walking by, maybe just throwing a few bucks in, whatever, and he was hearing their conversations. And I guarantee you that a lot of the conversations he heard were from people who'd just been miraculously touched by the power of God through Jesus' ministry. They'd have been walking along and someone would have been walking by him and they're saying, yeah, I used to be deaf. And this man called Jesus, man, he just came and stuck his fingers in my ears and took them out and I could hear. Yeah, another man saying, yeah, I'm speaking now for the first time in 20 years. I was dumb. And Jesus laid his hands on me and I can hear. Another man, he would say, yeah, and I used to be demon-possessed, totally taken over by demons. They used to throw me into convulsions and try and kill me by throwing me into a fire. And Jesus came along and commanded those demons to leave me. Now I'm whole and I'm in my right mind and I've got such peace in my life now. He would have been hearing testimony after testimony after testimony. That's how he heard about Jesus. There was many people called Jesus in his day, but he heard about the miracle power of the Son of the Living God. He heard about putting his faith in Jesus Christ. And so after testimony, hundreds of them throughout the day, he now hears that Jesus is around. He's saying, wow, I've heard how he makes the lame walk, how he makes the blind, other blind people see. I've heard how he opens deaf ears, he heals people of leprosy, or a modern day term would be skin cancer today. And, you know, I hear all these incredible miracles. I'm blind. He's passing by. I'm not going to miss my opportunity. Now listen, Jesus is passing by in this meeting, so to speak, tonight. You might have had Benny Hinn lay hands on you. You might have been watching Joyce Meyer on television. You might have been reading books on healing. You might have come to every healing meeting possible and still you're sick. Well, forget about all that tonight. Jesus is passing by in your life again. And I want you to believe that he's going to give you faith to see your asthma healed, to see your cancer if you had that healed, to see your blindness or your deafness or your crippled state or your bad back or your headache or your sinuses. People say, well, God's not interested in your sinuses. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're sitting there in a lot of pain tonight through a sinus headache and God just totally healed you, you'd be sure grateful. The rest of us are probably a big deal, but it certainly is a big deal to you. And I remember God speaking to my heart many years ago because I would always not give words of knowledge, because as you know, he gives me a lot of words of knowledge, shows me people's pain in crowds. And I would always let the small ones go, like someone with a bad toe or someone with this and that. My heart would be, well, tell them to call a tow truck, don't bother me with it, you know. Because how would that look? And by the way, welcome all the people on webcam. This is going live all around various parts of the world. And we're getting people coming in on webcam from all over the world. Well, we get so used to these meetings, we forget to welcome them. You believe God, you guys watching on webcam now, wherever you're from. I'm telling you, you know, we got to understand that. I've lost my track of thought. What the heck am I talking about? Huh? Yeah. And so I let all those little words of knowledge go because it may make me look bad. Anybody could guess that. Somebody here with a headache, oh, yeah, and a kid could say that. So I'd only get the big stuff of someone with a bad heart. and you're going into surgery in 2 days from now. I mean, that's pretty impressive. It would make me look like a man of God, you know. And so then the Lord spoke to me one day and said, I've had enough of that. He says, when I show you things about people, until you can have compassion for someone who's just got a toe ache, and you'll pray for them as much as you would pray for someone who is dying of cancer, you won't see the big miracles till you honor the people with the small problems. Because he says, they're important to them, and so they're important to me. It hurts them, so it hurts me. And I began to see the compassionate heart of the Father. Yes, he does care about your headache. In the Western world, we've got so much on drugs that, you know, you've heard me say it a lot, that we just get used to it. Well, if I don't get healed, so what? I just take a Panadol or, you know, whatever you call them over here. Ibuprofen, whatever you call them. You know, well, who cares? But, you know, and all those things, we can just take those drugs. And I'm not against them. At least they're keeping you alive till we can get healing power of God into you. For God's sake, you save yourself a lot of money if God healed you. And so, I believe that is the purpose of doctors, to keep people alive so Jesus can heal them. Because if you're president, well, I've got my green card now. So if our president, that seems weird, I have to say that now. That's a bit different. I still reckon you've got a weird national anthem, but never mind, I'll get used to it. No more weirder than ours, I suppose. I couldn't believe it the other day. You all get up and put your hand on your heart. La, 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 la. It's great, but I thought, what are they doing? Because we don't have that sort of stuff in Australia. We're not patriarchal at all. Most of us wouldn't even know who our prime minister is, what we call him over there. I wouldn't. I don't know who's in, you know. Most of us don't vote. We couldn't care less, you know. Our nation was founded on convicts. People who stole loaves of bread in England were sent out to the colony of Australia. We didn't have Daniel Boone and all those guys running around the place. We had Ned Kelly, who shot people for a living. That was wonderful. And so we're a totally different nation. We're similar in a lot of ways, but we're not patriarchal at all. And I'm realizing if I'm going to survive in America, I've got to become a little bit patriarchal. Patriotic, whatever you call the darn thing. Now, for an Aussie to be patriotic, see, I got it right there, Vaughn, will be a miracle. Because we ain't got anything of that. We don't do that sort of stuff. But you're in your country, so when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. It's got nothing to do with this message, but I thought it was a good bit of information. But he's sitting by the roadside begging. Not the patriotic, but the blind man, Bartimaeus. And he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's heard about all these testimonies from people as they're walking by. He says, right, I got my chance. He's healed the cripple. He's healed this. He's healed that. I can hear all their testimonies. Well, they can jolly well heal my eyes. Because you see, you've heard me say this before, and it won't happen. It's hypothetical, but it could. If you're president and you said, no more pharmaceutical things anymore, that's it. No more drugs, no nothing. And all of a sudden, no operations, you either just survive, live in pain, or you die. I can tell you, next week, this church would be packed with people asking God to heal them because they haven't got their drugs anymore. They can't have their operation anymore. That's why the miracle power of God is so strong in third world countries. Because they either die with their sickness or live with their sickness because they don't have surgeons and doctors who can do surgery on them over there. And if they had, they can't afford it. So that's why the healing power of God really takes a lot of fasting and prayer and gutsy preachers to get in your face to break that spirit and that mindset for people to believe that there is a Jesus who can heal. Am I against doctors? No. I think they do a wonderful job. But I certainly would want to put them out of business in Kingston. You might think I'm crazy. We got a lot of people. We got so many people healed of all disorders in Australia. One of the churches that the chiropractor nearly went out of business in our town because nobody had bad backs anymore. The surgeons were going out of business because everybody's getting healed of their liver and their kidneys. This is the truth. And a lot of the high professionals did not like me in town. The police loved me because the crime rate dropped by half because we got all the gang leaders and warlords saved. But the professional world didn't particularly like me because they were losing business. No more different to the book of Acts. Remember that silversmith or that idol maker? Paul was getting so many people saved, they no longer needed to idol worship because they came to Jesus. So they weren't buying idols from this guy anymore. He was ropeable. He went out of business. The gospel put him out of business, so they should. Wouldn't it be fantastic, not to wipe people out, but to have a city that's so full of the healing power of God, doctors say, don't go there. There's no point. There's no sick people there. And if they get sick, they go down to that little church and get healed and touched by God. I believe it. But when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The first ingredient, the first key to receiving your miracle tonight, friends, is, well, the first key is faith comes by hearing. He heard Christ. When he heard he was there, he started to cry out to him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm talking to you very simplistically about Jesus Christ and the word tonight. So faith will come into your spirit. And that's the first key. Faith comes by hearing. And then number two, we just read it there. He began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He had desperation. You've got to have a desperation that you're sick of your sickness and you want to be healed tonight. If your attitude is, well, if I don't get healed, it doesn't matter. I've still got my puffer machine if I've got asthma. I've still got my arthritis tablets. One out of 189, 90 chance that you'll get healed because you're already relying on other things. And I'm not against those other things. I'm not saying throw them away. I'm saying forget you haven't got them just for half an hour, and so I'm going to trust God that he can heal me of those darn things. Save myself a fair bit of money a month. So that you've got to, faith comes by hearing. You see, I'm not the healer, friends. If I was a healer, that means every person I lay hands on over the last 28 years would be healed. I've seen the most incredible miracles. The only miracle I haven't seen is raising someone from the dead. I've seen every other miracle, from people getting out of wheelchairs with severed spines to deafness to blindness to cancers. I pray for people who've had lung operations and only have got one lung, and they go back to their doctors and the whole lung has grown, and the x-rays show one x-ray with one lung, next x-ray with two full-grown lungs. I've seen the most unusual miracles time after time, but there's been just as many, if not more, that weren't healed. That's why if you're going to be budding evangelists, don't you start claiming healings until you've got it documented and you've got the specialist report. And they won't often say, yes, God's healed my patient, but they'll say something like, well, Mother Nature's done its job, or the problem's rectified itself. But you know it was God that did it. Because if you start claiming miracles you haven't seen, it's all right while you're small, but you start to get a little bit well known, you'll have the media on you, they'll investigate everything you say. And believe me, they've got their means of finding out if you're faking it or if you've lied, and they'll discredit your ministry just like that. So you've got to be honest and real. I see tons and tons and tons and scores of people healed, but I see just as many that don't. And I'm going to ask God why in heaven. Maybe because he's the healer. Is it because it's not God's will to heal certain people? It's God's will to heal everybody. Because in the atonement of Christ, in the cross work of Christ, he says he died for our sins and he died for our sicknesses and diseases. So his blood, which is called the atonement, has died for everybody's sins. That's why Jesus says he's not willing that anyone should perish, but for all to come to repentance, for all to come into his kingdom. But not everybody on earth has given their life to Jesus, but yet provisionally, he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But there's millions of people in hell right now. Not because God put them there, they put themselves there by rejecting the gospel. Everyone's saying all the time, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is attributing the works of the devil, the Holy Ghost to the devil. I don't think it's that at all, because there's only one unforgivable sin in the Bible. That is rejecting Christ as Savior. That's the only sin that will keep a person out of heaven. You can commit adultery, you can have a problem with pornography, you can have a drug problem. Lily had a nice fall. You can have any problem you like, but God will forgive you if you repent. But if you leave this life having never said, Jesus, come into my life, I repent of my sin, I want to be born again, as the Bible calls it, that's the only sin God will never forgive. He will forgive every other sin, from homosexuality to lesbianism, everything. But he will not forgive someone who never gave their lives to Christ. You see, you could have two people sitting on the front row just here. One could be a businessman who's got a great family, who gives to charity, who gives his tithes, who's a good, upstanding man. He doesn't commit immorality, doesn't cheat on his wife. He loves his wife, his kids, but doesn't see the need to give his life to Jesus. He believes in God because he's been brought up a Catholic or a Methodist or something that tend to say, if you believe in God, that's all you need. Not that I knock those religions. There's a lot of good people in those religions. But anyhow, then sitting next to him is a homosexual, is a pervert, who's done every horrible thing you can think of sexually. But in the middle of the service, this man begins to beat his chest, this homosexual, and says, God, forgive me. I repent. I repent. Would you please forgive me? I want to live for you. And the man sitting next to him says, well, I don't need to. I believe in God. I give to charity. I'm good. If they both die, when they both die, that man in all his goodness and charitable giving will go to hell. And that filthy homosexual who's been forgiven now by Jesus Christ and now living clean will go to heaven. Because God doesn't come to make bad people good. He comes to make dead people in their sins live by them being forgiven by receiving Christ. So that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because it's the only unforgivable sin, is to reject Christ as Savior. And I believe with all of my heart that people who die and have never heard the gospel at all will not go to hell, because God is going against his own word. Everybody who goes to hell will be people who've heard the gospel many times through a magazine, through a television show, through going to a meeting, through somebody witnessing to them on a street. Not just once, but many times in their life. From a young boy or a young woman to a teenager to an adult to an older person. They would have found that many times at the crossroads where Christ challenged them to give their life to him. Those who say no, 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 and die with that, go to hell. Listen, that's the fairest gospel. And people say, how could a God of love send people to hell? He doesn't. That's what we got to understand. God does not send people to hell, friends. Did you know that originally hell was created for the devil and his angels? But because Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent that was Satan in that serpent's body and deceived them, then sin entered this world and the same curse that was upon the devil and his angels came upon man. And so now the devil, the hell that was created for the devil and his angels was now created, or was now for man. That's why Jesus had to come back all those thousands of years later as the second Adam, to die upon the cross to abolish the law of sin and death so that people could come to God and not have to worry about that place called hell. It's a very real place. And I've said to a lot of atheists over the years who say, oh, we don't even believe in it. I said, well, all I can tell you is, you will when you get there. You will believe it when you get there. All you Buddhists and all you Islamic people and all you people, you're going to find there is your God in hell with you. Because there's no many ways to God. There's only one way. The Bible's clear about that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. I can find Buddha's grave. I can find Islamic grave. I can find all the great leaders who are cultish, whatever, they're dead. Jesus is the only grave you'll never find, because he's the only human in history that was risen from the dead on the third day. Because he's the Son of God. Death couldn't hold him down. And so the God of love sent Jesus to die upon a cross. Well, I think if people went to hell, God's love would eventually overrule and he'd say, okay, you've had your little torture time, come out now. For him to do that, he'd be slapping his son Jesus in the face. That Jesus went through all that horrible death and agony to die on a cross for the sins of the whole world, and people decided not to take that, what he did, and end up in hell, then think that God is just going to say, okay, boys, out of the pool now, it's okay. The key is to be right with God now. And this is not scare tactics, this is fact. I never even meant to say all that, to be honest with you. It's gotten right away from the scriptures, the story here. But in another sense, it hasn't. We need to be right with God. That's what revival power is all about. It's joy. It's the power of God. It's bodies flying everywhere under the power of God. But it's people being confronted with Christ. Do you know that's why a lot of people don't like revival meetings? And when God comes to a church to bring revival, a lot of people usually leave because they do not like in your face of the Holy Ghost. They want to have their nice little life. They want to have their hidden sins that their wives or their husbands may know about or may not. They want to just get on with their life and have their little clappy, happy church or dead, boring church on Sunday. And when they come to meetings like this, it's in your face. You can feel the Holy Ghost convicting you. You can feel Him right, as if He's standing right in front of you saying, what are you going to do with your life? Come on, I want it. Come on. What are you going to do with this? No excuse, because if you've got sin in your life, just ask me to forgive you in your heart right now, and I'll forgive you. It's like that. There's no excuse. But people don't like that. We want to get on with our own little life, and we'll come to church on Sunday if it's not a bit of golf day. And if you want to live that way, well, you may make it through to heaven. I'm not going to judge you. But boy, it's a sure horrible way to live. He's not looking for perfect people. I'm not perfect. Just ask my wife. I'm nearly perfect. We're not quite perfect. In fact, the word perfect means to adjust and repair. So maybe I'm perfect because I'm being adjusted and repaired all the time. Looking at me like you're sanctimonious lot. Well, we're righteous. We're okay. Yes. We don't sin like you. But anyhow, he's got this desperation. And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. First key, you got to have faith comes by hearing. Second key, you got to be desperate. Third key, you got to move from desperation into determination. The crowd is now saying, shut up. Stop bothering him. You know, and because they knew he was blind. He wasn't going to be intimidated by the crowd. He shouted out all the more, Jesus, Son of David. He wanted his healing. And friend, you will get your healing when you got faith in your heart. And that's easy enough. Faith comes by hearing him by the word of God. And then what you've got to do then is have desperation, then you've got to have determination. Because every voice in your head will say, hey, what makes you think you're going to get healed tonight? What happens if it's not God's will to heal you tonight? It's God's will to save everybody tonight. Therefore, it's God's will to heal everybody. Whether they do or don't is irrelevant. Our job is to preach it and to believe that people are going to get what they're after in God. And you'll help yourself by having determination that I'm going to get my miracle. Whether my mind, whether my friend, my wife, my husband likes it or not. That's all there is to it. Ooh, I was getting a bit excited there and hurt my hand. Okay. And Jesus stopped and called him. Look at these ones. The same people are just telling him to shut up. Suddenly stopped. So they called to the blind man and said, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Bunch of hypocrites. They're just saying, shut up, leave us alone. So he's determined all the more to... And then, just because they hear the voice of the Master, call him here. They all say, wow, he's cool with God. That's great. Yeah, come on, cheer up. Get on your feet. What are you waiting for? The same blighters who just told him, sit down and shut up. Well, that's welcome to the life. The same people who will say, you're not going to make it. You're going to amount to a hill of beans. That's about all you'll make. Then somebody who's got favor in the body of Christ, or someone who's famous in the body of Christ, prophesied over you and believes in you, and those same people say, oh, I knew you had it. Roy tells me that he meets people like that all the time. That before the Lakeland revival, when he was just a nobody really, just a preacher doing his thing that hardly anybody heard about, and pastors were quite rude to him at times. But after the Lakeland fame, where now he gets invited to the major churches around the world regularly because of leading that worship at the great Lakeland revival of those years ago, or a year ago now, suddenly they all want to know him now. Suddenly, remember me, Roy? He doesn't have any time for him. He says, yeah, I remember you. You wouldn't even give me a break as a young man with his family traveling. You wouldn't even let me preach in your church. You know? And welcome to life. That's what happens in church life. It happens in the world too. You don't worry about things like that. You're always going to get the jealous coots hanging around the place. Don't worry about them. A coot is an idiot. I'm interpreting it in American for you. Okay, so they called the blind man. And he does something interesting. I'm closing with this. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Why did he throw his cloak aside? Because in their day, in the Jewish custom, they all had a black coat. It's like so you can receive food for social securities. Do you have that over here where you can get food stamps, you get this? You have to have a certain card and blah, blah, blah. Well, he had to wear a certain cloak. It was a black cloak. And he threw his security aside. But in that day, if Jesus hadn't have healed him, he couldn't have just picked up his cloak again and put it back on and still got the favor for begging where people would give him alms and money. That was a serious no-no in the Jewish culture in that day. just to take off his black coat, his coat. What was he doing? He was removing all his props. He was removing all his security and saying, I'm getting my healing whether they like it or not. Whether Jesus himself likes it or not, I'm going to see. I won't need this stupid coat. I'll go out and get myself a job. And that's what he did. And so he threw his cloak aside. And so what's that talking about? The fourth key, friends, is throw off all hindrances. Because when you come to Jesus, because if you say to Jesus tonight, I've got faith for you to heal me, you'll hear him calling you. Yeah, come and believe. Come and receive. And if you hear that, you're going to have every voice and every hindrance come up. Your props will come up. Remove all your props, what you rely on. Oh, well, I've got my puffer machine in my bag. I've got my arthritis tablets. Well, don't be stupid and throw them away because, you know, if you get healed, then you'll be throwing them away anyway because you won't need them anymore. I've prayed for tons and many, many people over the years who have been healed of severe sugar diabetes. And I said, don't throw your medication away. But when you take your medication from this night forward, you'll get very ill because you don't longer need it. If that happens, go to your doctors and he'll tell you, what the world are you taking all this for? And many people became violently sick where once it made them feel better, now the injections, whatever they're using, made them feel violently sick. And they went and had the checkup from the doctor and found out there's nothing wrong with them. And they're actually doing their body damage by putting all the drugs into them. That's the way to do it, you know. God's a very real God. He's an amazing God. And that's what I say to atheists, and that's what I say to agnostics, and that's what I say to people who don't believe. You know, I've brought a lot of atheists and agnostics and New Age people to Jesus over the years, and because they can't work me out, but they know what I've got is real. See, you're an unusual guy, but there's something about you that's real. Because I take it with me out the front, and I say, you don't believe in all this stuff, do you? Nah. Well, watch this. And I just stand before someone, they'll fall to the ground. And I said, oh, how many feet away? Oh, you're about 3 feet away. Did I hypnotize them? Well, I don't know. I said, I tell you what, you just stand there right now and the power of God's going to come over you. And you're an atheist, you don't even believe in God. And bang, they go crashing to the floor. So what's that power? What's that power? And usually at that point, most of them just get up and run out because they're so scared. Because, you know, they know I've just blown all their theology. They don't believe there's a God. But the God they didn't believe in just knocked them to the ground. Well, that's what you got to do. I love that challenge. I think we should put a big ad in the paper and challenge every druggo to come into this place. And promise them we'll go out and buy all the drugs they want if God doesn't give them a greater high in the Holy Ghost. You might say, you're mad. Yeah, I've done it. I've built two churches doing that. First night, 30 young people showed up all to get their drug money from the pastor. But I won. Everyone of them got knocked to the floor under the power. And you could hear them. None of them could get up. They're saying, we've never had a high like this. Let's bring all our friends back next week. And I baptized over 80 of them in a month because some of them are getting saved. That's true. You got to put the money where your mouth is, man. Gosh, you know, what's the point in preaching like this if you don't step out and do it? It's just stupidity, you know. We've got to learn to put our money where our mouth is. If we say Jesus heals, well, let's not be arrogant, but let's be bold. And let's be full of love and get out there and just do it. New Age people usually love me. Can't work me out, but they love me because this aura they see about me. They're all under auras, all those people. I said, what's that aura about you? I said, it's called the Holy Ghost, man. I said, well, how do we know? It's not the Holy Ghost. I said, here, take this. And they usually go in a restaurant, just go back, crash into the floor. So, you see, that's how I came to God. So that's how he uses me to minister to people. 99% of people I pray for fall under the power of God. Bang. I don't push them either. Why? Because that's how I came to God. So I just expect it to happen to you. In my theology, the only way you can touch God is if you're on the floor. Why? Because that's how God changed my life. Every ministry is different. That's how he changed me. So obviously he's given me a faith that I believe once you're on the floor, you're under God's operating table. And don't worry, if you don't want it, just look past me in a few minutes from now and I won't call you out. I'm not going to call you out if you don't want it. I've been at this game, it's not a game, but I've been at this ministry for a lot of years and I can tell when people don't really want it and when people really want it but they're too shy. But God's a gentleman. He doesn't pick people out who don't want it at all. So just relax. You'll be fine. If you don't want it, as I walk by, you just look straight ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to be nice tonight. So I've got my brother and sister-in-law here, so I'm trying to be nice. Normally I'm very mean. I'm being very nice because you guys are here. I'm only kidding. Sort of. Not really. Do you think I'm being a bit nice tonight, friends? You want me to be mean? Good. No. There's no meanness in God. I've waffled on too long here. No, I'm actually not waffling tonight. You're getting some good stuff here. I'm just building up your faith. And when it happens, it happens. And if you don't want to stick around, you can go home. It's fine. No skin off my nose. So he jumps to his feet when he throws all his hindrances aside. And then Jesus says to him something very strange. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, I want to see. Now you imagine, you've just been desperate. You've been determined. You've thrown all your props aside. Jesus knows this man's blind. Why? Because he just didn't walk to Jesus. He had help. Somebody would have helped him and took him to Jesus. Jesus knew the man was blind. So why would the Lord seemingly be rude and say, what do you want me to do for you? It'd be like him sitting here with no arms. Very harmless person, you know. And he comes out the front and I say, what do you want God to do for you? It's obvious, isn't it? If it's in a meeting where arms grow, that'd be slapping him in the face to say to him, what do you want me to do for you? It's obvious. He wants his arms back. Or if you're blind, you want to see, obviously. So why did Jesus do it? Because he was teaching that man to be specific. And that's the fifth key. You see, faith comes by hearing, desperation, then determination. Then we've got to throw off all hindrances. But then we've got to be specific with our faith. Jesus knows every one of your needs. And people say that, well, he already knows what I... Of course he knows you back to front. He can count all the hairs of your head, which some of you counts less and less each year, including me. But that's just his way of saying he intimately knows us. But I'm telling you, folk, he wants us to be specific. Yes, I've come to you tonight, Lord, and I want you to heal me of my arthritis. I want you to heal me of my headaches. I want you to heal me of my brain tumor. I want you to heal me of my fibromyalgia, or whatever you call it. I want you to heal me of this. I want you to heal me of that. Because once you're specific, then when that healing anointing starts to come in the atmosphere, which it will, then your faith is specific and it will channel that anointing straight into that sick area of your body. I've seen it happen hundreds of thousands of times over the years. I want to see. Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the roadside. That's phenomenal. Absolutely. And so that's what Jesus wants to say to a lot of you people tonight. Go. Go your way. Your faith has healed you. Just be healed. We've seen God do all sorts of things here. Unusual things happened a week or so ago where four or five people came out through a word of knowledge for insomnia. Doesn't mean much to us, but if you're getting 3 or 4 hours sleep a night, year after year, 10, 20, 15, 20, 30 years, then that's very bad for your health. You're still sleeping well, Sal? Look at him. The guy was sleeping 4 hours a night. Now he's sleeping 8, 10, 12 hours a night. Can't wake up now. And all those testimonies last week that came out and said, yes, I've been able to sleep either and I was healed. I said, God's doing stuff all the time. He cares for things like that. Why? Because he said he wants to give his beloved rest. God cares so much for us. He cares about your toe ache. He cares about your ingrown toenail. He cares about your consumption, whatever that means. He cares about your bowel disorders. He cares about your constipation. I had a word of knowledge once. Seriously, this is the truth. I said, look, there's a woman in here with severe constipation. You haven't been able to go to the bathroom for 10 days now. God's loosening you now. And all of a sudden, this woman screamed and ran for the bathroom. Goodness knows what it... And she came back in the meeting half an hour later with a great look on her face of relief. I said, well, obviously, we know what God did for you. So, you know, that's the truth. So God can do what he likes. That doesn't mean nothing to us, but someone hasn't been able to have a bowel movement for 10 days, that's pretty severe. You see, God can do that, friends. So if we see people just running out in a minute, well, maybe he's loosening there. He cares for about all that, you know. There's a ministry in America that goes around and cures fat people. No disrespect to anybody who's fat here. I'm fat myself, so that's all right. He calls them out the front. He rebukes their fatness. And just like that, in front of everybody, some people who are excessively overweight are losing 150 pounds right before everybody's eyes, to the point where deacons and helpers have to stand in a circle all around the person, because all of a sudden their clothes or underclothing falls off and they walk out skinny in a 5 minutes, just like that. Now that has to be God. That's happening. Forget the guy's ministry. And anybody else heard about that ministry? Oh, there's quite a few hands going up. And, you know, quite interesting. Does every fat person get healed? I don't know, but a lot do. That's a pretty cool ministry to have. Imagine that. Jeez. What I'm saying is God cares, friends. I think he would help us to discipline ourselves too, and to eat properly and exercise properly. But that's all norm. Most sicknesses we wouldn't have if we looked after ourselves. But God doesn't punish us because we don't look after ourselves, friends. Sometimes he gives us a miracle to give us hope and a belief. You might have been struggling with things in your life for years, friends, and you can't break it. You're a real good person in your heart, but you just can't break some of the stuff. Give Jesus a go tonight. Just give him a go. I don't want to know what your problem is. I could care, but it's not my business. It's not my business to embarrass you. You know before God what your problem is. Why don't you give God a go tonight? Now, normally I have a lot of words of knowledge and I prophesy and I just call people out. At this point, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to ask people who are sick in your body. It could be from a toe ache to something very severe. I want you just to stand now and come and line up. And I'm actually going to believe God that you're going to be healed. From back aches to toe aches to arthritis to lumps, bumps of any kind. Wow, there's a lot of people responding.